As an employee-owned financial firm, Baird offers advice solely focused on clients' needs, while consistently investing in their expertise and capabilities to serve those in need. More information at baird-difference.com.
Every Tuesday, we head down to City Hall. It's nice on days like today. We can walk over as long as we stay in the sunshine and out of the wind. And we knock on the mayor's office door, and there's our friend John Hamilton, the mayor of the great city of Bloomington, joining us. Good afternoon, my friend. How are you?
Good afternoon. Nice to be with you again. Yes, on this sunny, bright day.
And it was nice to have a decent farmer's market last Saturday where everybody didn't have to wear 15 layers and everything else. I know it wasn't hot to get the morning started, but as it rolled on, boy, the sun came out. It warmed up. It felt like spring. You had that little nip in the air, but you had the warm sunshine. So that's a good problem to have. And, this Sunday, well, that's going to be a lot different than what we've seen before, so that has to be exciting. And so does the return of the Little 500. I don't know how exciting it's going to be for you and Chief Dekoff per se, but the angle I have here is, when was the last time we had, well, football games? Yeah, I guess we had crowds for football games last year a little bit. But to have kind of the world's greatest college weekend, the signature event, The forecast suggests Friday and Saturday should be quite busy in our fair town.
Well, you know, yeah, last Saturday was beautiful, and I got to walk around a couple city parks and look at invasive species and learn some things. And this Saturday, it looks like it's going to be another lovely, lovely day and weekend. And it is, you know, there's a lot of pent up excitement and energy, having not been able to do the 500 greatest college weekend for a couple of years. That means there's a lot of pent up energy. So that little five will be it'll be exciting. Now, I will say, as your mayor and as you referenced Chief Dekoff, you know, we do want to very directly say, please be safe, keep everybody safe, enjoy a beautiful amateur sports extravaganza for the women's and men's races, but take care of each other. Let's not have anything we want to regret or feel bad about at the end of the weekend.
Well, the interesting part is, back in 2019, the last time we had a proper crowd and a proper, no pandemic in our future or anything else like that, we didn't have some streets closed off and parklets and other things. Do you think that's going to help the tenor as the weekend goes on?
Yeah, I you know, it's hard to tell. I do think it's, of course, we like having outdoor spaces where people can gather, and I do think having the areas on Kirkwood and the parklets and those kinds of things will be helpful to accommodate crowds. And of course, I still encourage people, if you're at risk or you're worried or whatever, you can mask up. That's totally fine and acceptable and good. We recommend it in indoor spaces, but having more outdoor spaces is good. So we'll look forward to that, and I hope people will enjoy it.
And the weather will finally break, and we'll have a chance to enjoy it as well. And just to remind everybody, the women's race is 4:00 on Friday afternoon, the 34th edition. The men, 71st edition, Saturday at 2 p.m. So if you want to zig while they zag, that's a great time to go to the farmer's market. It's a great time to go to Food Truck Friday and some of the other events. And remember that Bloomington has more spaces than perhaps on the square in Kirkwood. There are other places to explore and examine, and a great weekend to get out to the plenty of parks we have as well, whether it's Lake Griffey or Bryan Park or whatever else. Everybody's going to be out and about this weekend. That has to be exciting.
It'll be nice. I was at Winslow Woods and Latimer Woods over the weekend, and so there's lots of wonderful places that if you haven't been, get on the park's website and look up some of the 36 parks and see if there's one you haven't been to. Check it out.
That's right. Get a bingo card going. Start checking off your checking out. We don't call it a bucket list. That sounds a little dramatic.
No.
It's just make a list and check them off. But it'll be great to see people out and about the world's greatest college weekend. As we know, the women's and men's races coming up. Farmers Market on Friday. Farmers Market on Saturday. Food Truck Friday. Food Truck Friday tells you exactly what day it is. That should be a little bit more self-explanatory, but sometimes I'm a little goofy. Other news we've heard this week, we've been following the progress of the Johnson Creamery smokestack. If we've gone to the Farmers Market, you see the trail cut off there for safety purposes. Do we finally get some resolution on how that's going to be taken care of? And are you satisfied with what you've heard from the purchasers of that property?
I'd say we've got phase one settled, and phase one is to reduce that smokestack, to basically deconstruct it down to 60 feet. And everybody has now agreed and is set to proceed with that to get the safety underway, and that'll let us reopen the trail and such. They need to remove a few of those cell towers you see strapped up there on the top, so that has to come down. We think that should be done organized fashion rather than a big crash, so let's get those off first. And I expect that to begin happening pretty soon. I don't know if it'll be within the week, but to get that deconstruction going, that's phase one. Then phase two is still kind of orbiting around what's going to happen. Is it going to stay looking like that? Will there be something replacing it? Will the owners who want to put a housing development there too, will that go forward? There's a few more steps to be taken before that happens, but you know, critically getting that first phase done, it's taken months. I'm sorry. I hope people have been patient. We just wanted to be extra careful at the beeline that nothing would happen, and we're pleased with that. And the engineer said, "You're right. It was dangerous, and now it needs to come down." So that's going to happen in the coming weeks.
So be paying attention, and then we'll see all the development that goes on. And goes on over there. Again, another addition to a downtown that's growing in an area that's booming. That's interesting. The other interesting headline we heard, the Jim Edmonds tease at the top of the hour, that the Cook Group is going to build on 62 acres in Spencer, and they're going to give their employees, it sounds like, right of first refusal on buying into these properties. That's got to be a little disappointing that they're going that way, but they do have factories out that way as well. Was this a missed opportunity, in your opinion, for Bloomington and Monroe County?
Well, yes, in a way it was. I mean, look, Cook is, you know, a fantastic longtime company employer, key anchor in the community at large, not just Bloomington, but the whole area. And they are, like many people, their employees are struggling to find good, affordable homes and trying to find ways to do it. So I don't fault Cook from looking to how to help make that possible. Land is less expensive, no doubt, in Owen County, and that operation is. I do, you know, we have worked with Cook, and we want to keep working with them and other employers to identify ways to create that opportunity in the city and in the county as well. I know they were pretty frustrated when the county commissioners rejected a plan to put in some more affordable housing as being too dense. And this all kind of relates to annexation and city lines and such too, that look, we want dense development in the city and right around the city. And if that doesn't happen, they can get pushed farther out, which isn't good for the environment. It's at least we should have a more balanced opportunity. Now, you know, that's another reason we bought 24 acres in the hospital, now called Hopewell, to say we want 1,000 units of housing, up to 1,000 units of housing there. And some of that can be home ownership, townhomes, paired homes, even single-family homes. And so that'll be an opportunity there up on 17th Street. We've got 42 lots for single-family homes, too. So there are areas that we do want to work with all our employers to help identify opportunities, because only developing housing that far out, while we understand there's a market for it and a need for it, we certainly want to see more housing developing here. We've had over 6,000 units of housing approved and being built in the city over the last 5 years or so, and that's good, but we want to keep that growing.
That's exactly right. And the more we can keep here, well, that would be... It's an interesting angle, because obviously Cook is privately owned business and plays by, I don't want to say play, that sounds, that they have different rules than what government has to go by. Would that be an accurate way of putting
it? Well, you know, they can choose to, they have a lot of choices to make, and I don't, I bet they're going to have a lot of employees who say, that's a great deal, I want to buy a house out there. Now, I happen to think if we had a similar deal in the city, and maybe the houses instead of 220, they might be 260 or whatever, I don't know. But I think they'd have a lot of employees who like that too. So we're going to keep trying to give people options.
And, well, that's a good point.
And look, I do think it's great Cook is investing in housing for their employees first, but also the community, and that's a really good thing to see companies helping accelerate the housing solutions.
And that's kind of how the old world and wheel works. If someone doesn't get that greasy wheel squeaking, somebody else will come along and do so. Mayor John Hamilton is our guest this afternoon. Every Tuesday after 4:05, we prefer to talk to him in the sunshine like today, and that's good because we've got a great weekend coming up. But we have plenty to do before we get there, including tomorrow night. We spoke to you on last Tuesday, and you told us the city council would have a committee of the whole or a work session on Wednesday the 13th. Take a little straw poll vote and see how that went. What did we learn from the vote last Wednesday, and what has transpired in the last 6 days to get us ready for tomorrow's get-together?
Well, democracy is underway. You know, small-d democracies at work. The council last week, I think we had a lot of good discussion. I took away from it a general sense that I think virtually all the council members, there are 8 of them there, virtually all of them feel and have expressed support for revenue increase and understand it's critically important. There are different views about how much new revenue, how it should be allocated among different needs that we have in relative amounts. I think that the council members are having a lot of conversations with them among themselves. I'm in some of those conversations too, encouraging it. I am optimistic and hopeful that we're going to land. They will land in a place that reaches, real consensus, maybe even about how to go forward. And I don't know if we hope it'll happen tomorrow. There's still conversations going, all day today and tomorrow too, probably. We'll see if that can get landed tomorrow, which would be great. If it gets pushed off a week, that's also possible. But I think they're really looking at public safety investments. They're looking at the basic city services, making sure we're continuing to create a great community where people thrive with good, strong, effective city government. They're looking at housing. That's one of the big components. They're looking at the transit system, which helps a lot of people in the community, get around and do it well. They're looking at climate and how we respond to climate and mitigate the threats that we have from climate. So everybody has probably would dial each of these things a little differently. So getting 9 of them to sit down and agree on it's complicated, but I'm hopeful and optimistic.
Is your role at this juncture in the proceedings as salesperson, question answerer? Where do you push or pull with the council this deep into it?
All of the above, I'd say.
This is like trivia with Don. Yeah, just give
there
me
you go.
Give me an all
there
of the above.
Give me that all of the above choice. I'm obviously an advocate. I've been expressing the need for this and trying to describe it. I do answer questions still we get from the public or from the council. I was on a session with the Bloomington Economic Development Corporation, had an hour and a half session on Monday answering questions. We encouraging them, frankly, just to encourage the old phrase, don't let the perfect be the enemy of the good.
Yeah.
Everybody may have a sense of what would be perfect from their perspective, but they're different, each of them, probably a little bit. And so let's try to land in a good spot. Our community needs this and can really be advantaged with it. So, I often remind us that we have very low taxes compared to our neighbors. That's still true. It was true last week. It's still true. And we have capacity to do this. We have very moderate debt per capita in place. We have very low costs compared to the 20 cities of Indiana. We're 19th out of 20th in terms of property and income tax rates. So we have the capacity to do it, and it's really important to do it. So I'm kind of a cheerleader, question answerer, hand holder, whatever I can do to help.
And at this point of the proceedings, Is it a negotiation that you're pull this from this category, move it over here? What do you feel is the either the question or the holdback to trying to get off this perfect into really good?
Yeah, I think there are two main dimensions that they're trying to figure out, and I don't have a vote in this. This is, you know, the city council has the vote. I propose things, but. And one of them is just what level of taxation is acceptable, if you will, or appropriate to move us forward, and that's technically what they vote on is a percentage increase. So they all have to come to an agreement on what that should be. And a related dimension is and how should all of that be allocated? How much to transit? How much to housing? How much to public safety? How much to basic city services? How much to climate change and such? And so that's complicated. And, you know, I've put out an array of a bunch of those, and they kind of play with a spreadsheet and see if they can come to consensus about it.
Gotcha. So if you're wondering how the sausage is made or the politicking that goes on behind the scenes, Mayor Hamilton is here to help us out with that. So tomorrow, what is required during this meeting, if anything?
So they will be it's a formal public hearing, so anybody who wants to comment on it is welcome in person or online. People can comment on both the two bonds, there are two $5 million bonds being proposed, and the lid increase. So all of those are having a public hearing. And then they may vote for final adoption of one or two or three, all three of those things. Or they may act on some of them, postpone some. They may postpone them all. I hope they'll act on them all. But look, these are 9 public servants. They're all trying to do the best they can from how they see the city's future. They all have a little different, you know, viewpoint of it, and they're trying to work through that. And that's small d democracy. That's how it works. That's okay. Let's not stress out about it. Let's encourage the dialogue and the consideration and ultimately a vote that'll move us forward.
Mayor John Hamilton checking in on a Tuesday. Brought the sunshine today. We thank you for that. And talking about public safety as well, we know that's a big part of what's going on with the funding mechanisms trying to be put together there. A lot of guns in the news lately. Drive-bys and arguments that lead to, you know, kids, and you got somebody driving around. It's just, we don't want that to become commonplace around here. What can we do as citizens, and what can you do in your role in government to make sure this doesn't become more normaler around Bloomington?
Yeah, you know, the presence of firearms, guns, is really concerning. I think a lot of people have probably been reading the news that in the last few years there's a lot more firearms being purchased and sold, both legally and then we expect illegally too. When you have a lot of firearms, when you have more firearms, a lot of firearms, and you have people who continue to get angry with each other and lose tempers and may have problems themselves in managing their behaviors, you can tend to have what used to be a fight or a fist fight can become a shooting, and that's very, very concerning. We could talk a lot about the proliferation of weapons and how concerning that is. We could talk about the fact that the state legislature just passed a law that means as of July, anybody in our state can walk around and have a firearm, a handgun that they don't need to have anybody okay it in terms of concealed firearm. And that's a bad change that I'm very concerned about. But, you know, overall in Bloomington, our crime rate is down, so we're very pleased with that. But we definitely are seeing more gun crimes, and we've had numerous shootings that have not killed anyone. We had one homicide recently from a firearm, but we've had a lot of near misses, and those all are concerning because they all could have been worse. We did have some arrests lately that were very encouraging to catch some of the shooters, the alleged shooters. They've been charged, are getting charged with that, including some up in Crestmont that we were able to make some arrests recently, and we're pleased about that. But Mike, it's just alarming that what used to be a road argument can turn into a road argument shooting, or what used to be a domestic argument can turn into a domestic shooting. And I don't, there's no simple answer to that.
No, it's all age groups. It's all times of day. It's all times of nights. It's in different spots. It's just not one problem.
You know, I heard the mayor of New York City, who is a former police officer, now the mayor, talk about the rivers that feed the sea of violence. Now, New York is going through a lot, of course, but the different rivers that feed this, and they range from, you know, of course, poverty to mental illness to access to weapons to, you know, a criminal justice system that's not dealing with people and helping avoid, people doing again what they did 10 years ago. And all of those rivers need attention: education systems, healthcare systems, mental health systems, family supports, all those things to help decrease the gun violence. And in my view, too, we need better restrictions on how guns are accessed and used.
And there's never an easy answer for it as well, but the disturbing part is when you see 15-year-olds and 16-year-olds and 18-year-olds, and well, everybody can get them. It's just not whoever you think should have them. It's everybody's getting them.
You know, and I think it is helpful perhaps for families to understand that if you do have weapons in the home, for goodness sake, get the policies and the instructions on how to take care of them safely, keep them safely locked away. Don't let people have access to guns and ammunition that should not have it, and certainly not, you know, keep them away when people are upset. But all the time, it's a fact that most of the deaths of young people from handguns are suicides, and people who attempt suicide with a gun are much more successful than those who don't have access to. So, as families, as adults, you know, doing the right thing to keep guns out of the hands of people who shouldn't have them, or you don't want to have them unsupervised and in difficult situations, keeping that safe is really important to keep people around you that you care deeply about, keeping them safe too.
Excellent job, Mr. Mayor. As always, enjoy the, well, you probably need to find your sunscreen this weekend if you're going to be out and about. That'll be the first burn for everybody. It'll be the first burn for everybody, but that feels good, though. Maybe a little late this year, but we'll enjoy it. Have a great, are you at the market this weekend? Is this your weekend or others?
Yes, I will be at the market for Mayor at the Market, so from 10 to 11:30 or so. Come check it out.
Come on in. Bring your goodies, pick up something to eat, enjoy that sunshine, and I think we'll see the old Bloomington. And I don't mean that in a bad way at all. I think we'll see the old Bloomington start to come out of its hibernation perhaps Friday afternoon and throughout the weekend. So I can't wait to get out and check everything out as well. It's one of the, that's why we love it here. It's one of the most vibrant places around, and the weather does help after a long, long winter. Thanks, my friend. We'll do it again next Tuesday.
Have a great week, and everybody stay safe. Thanks so much, Mike.
John Hamilton, the mayor of the city of Bloomington, checks in with us every Tuesday, and we thank the mayor for his time and insight on all the issues in Bloomington and in the surrounding areas as well.